Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a marvelous, marvelous Monday and that you had a Merry Christmas and that you and your loved ones have a Happy New Year. We've got shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Nothing on Thursday or Friday. Of course, this is our first show back since COVID sidelined us. Our good buddy Stephen Hargis from the Times Free Press, he's managed to avoid COVID, so kudos to you, Stephen. But we always appreciate you joining us. I mean, when you think about it, we are down to the final shows of the year, so it is certainly time to look back at what an amazing, amazing year of high school athletics this has been. Stephen, if I asked you pre-COVID, what's the last normal thing you remember?
Good question, Dave. Probably... I covered a sub-state basketball game at Howard, and Howard lost to Upperman on a late, just a few seconds remaining in the game, and Upperman hit a shot, and then Howard missed a three at the buzzer, and wrote about how Upperman had just had some kids who had their houses demolished by the tornadoes in the mid-state at that time.
That's right.
And then it was just a couple of days later that the girls' state basketball tournament started. I didn't actually cover that. Patrick covered it for us. And after the first round of games is when they delayed the tournament and said they're going to wait and see, you know, what they can do with the virus when they could postpone it and try to play it again. And then, of course, it wound up getting canceled and nothing else was played. So I think that's probably the last time things felt semi-normal. And at that time, you know, that last basketball game at Howard, which we had heard, you know, the possibilities of things coming, but you didn't really think it was going to be what it wound up being. So I think that's probably the last normal thing that I remember covering.
So wrestling was like the last sport that pretty much got everything in, right? Before the chaos?
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly, yep.
And, of course, Cleveland, they were like 33-1. And just, I mean, everybody was excited about their potential in the boys' state tournament. And then, voila, not happening. And, of course, had that image, Stephen, of – going to TSSAA and actually walking up on a box that had all those trophies that were never handed out, right?
Yeah, that was pretty surreal. I mean, they had all of the boys and girls state basketball tournament, you know, the gold balls, the silver balls, the all tournament plaques, all that stuff were laid out on a table in the hallway. Like, we were there to meet to choose Mr. Football. We had the Mr. Football meeting. And as you go down the hallway, you know, to get a water, there's a refrigerator down the hallway. You go down there to get a drink before the meeting, and you see that table with all the things that have been sitting there since March and hadn't moved, and it's just kind of like, wow.
Ooh, and of course, you know, I still, even though it's been years, I still consider the spring fling hours, even though it's moved mid-state, and I understand for proximity reasons why most schools like to have it in the middle of the state, but – I mean, that was just such a fun thing that we birthed that I'm sure that was another point during this year that was a very, very strange few days for you.
Yeah, that's one that, I mean, as you mentioned, it started in Chattanooga and kind of, you know, just to show my age and how long I've been around, I had covered every spring fling that had ever happened, you know, from Chattanooga to Memphis to Murfreesboro, you know, everywhere that it had been, and always just one of the things that you really love. I mean, the weather's always, you know, it's obviously spring, so it's nice and warm, and you know, you're kind of going to all these different events, and there's a lot of electricity, a lot of excitement and things like that, and of course the seniors are about to graduate, so it's just always kind of a fun atmosphere for every event that you go to, and just really, you know, that was when you really started, your heart started to go out for the high school kids, was when they announced that, you know, their whole season was going to be taken away. It's like, you know, Cleveland's coach even mentioned, you know, he hated that they didn't get to play their state tournament, but at least they had played an entire season leading up to the state tournament. The spring sport kids didn't even get to go out there and play, you know, swing the bat once or anything. So that was really surreal to kind of, that's when you realized, okay, the fall sports are in some real trouble now. We've lost the state tournament for boys and girls basketball and an entire season for five other sports. You know, this thing, who knows how long it's going to carry through and affect high school sports.
Of course, you and I had to co-host the Best of Preps banquet virtually, so that was very different. But then, Stephen, if we continue to move forward the calendar year, even though it was a time of year where games weren't taking place, it sure seems like the back half of July and August may have been the wildest time of all as far as whether there will be a football season or not.
Yeah, I mean, you went back and forth from when things looked really bleak to, you know, that even Bernard Childress, the executive director of the Cable Display, you know, seemed pretty down about the prospects of a season being played. And it was kind of out of their hands at that point. You know, it was up to what the governor's orders were going to be and things like that. And it was really looking kind of gloomy there, you know, mid-July especially. And then you started to get a little bit of hope that, okay, well, there's going to be some form of a season, but it's probably going to be pretty abbreviated. And they're probably going to cut it down to maybe half the normal games that you would have. There was even talk about playing just a regular season and not even having a playoffs. I mean, there was all kinds of scenarios they were throwing out there that was not positive, you know, really. And so then once they decided to, you know, the governor allowed practice to begin on time, actually, and we got the season, you know, started, was kind of a small miracle in itself. And then to actually play an entire season, I know we lost games pretty much each week. We would have, you know, certain teams would lose a game here and there. But to actually get an entire regular season of 10 weeks of, you know, 11 weeks of games and then five rounds of the playoffs, there was no way I would have thought that would happen if you had asked me in July that we're going to play an entire full season and a playoffs. Just didn't seem like the prospects were very good for that. So, you know, that's kind of amazing when you look back on it.
And, of course, even the playoffs itself, we had three area teams, right? And you correct me if I'm wrong, but we had Howard, CCS, and McMinn County that did not lose on the field in the playoffs, correct?
Yeah, and that's right, David. And those were, you know, obviously the further you get into the playoffs, you know, Howard, they missed out on their first round, which
right.
was, you know, bad enough. But then CCS wins a game, they're in their quarterfinals, and they can't play. And in McMinn County, you know, even goes a week beyond that and is actually at the site, you know, to play their game and basically told to pack up, get back on the bus, and that their game is at least postponed at that time and then later canceled. So, you know, that's a tough way. If you're a senior, that's a tough way to have your high school career end is, you know, for Howard, you make it to the playoffs, but you don't get to play it. But then for CCS and McMinn County to advance deep into the playoffs and feel like they have a shot of, you know, making a run and having it taken away from them that way, you know, that's going to be something that those guys, those kids will have to really, you know, regret that's the way their careers possibly or their at least their high school season and their high school career ends.
Well, of course, Megs ran into a buzzsaw. South Pittsburgh lost a heartbreaker. So I guess we've got McCauley to thank for giving this area something to celebrate, a title to celebrate here these last few weeks.
Yeah, and that was, you know, it's kind of funny because before the season, one of the things that Ralph Potter, you know, had that he never takes to social media.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely ever does he, but he had a kind of a almost like a plea of why high school football needed to be played, you know, what the benefits were for the kids, and it went virtual. I mean, this thing got, you know, thousands and thousands of shares and retweets and things like that between Facebook and Twitter. You know, it was even featured on like a national sports radio show that, you know, here's this high school football coach in Chattanooga, Tennessee that has this impassioned plea to play the season. So it gained a lot of attention. And I talked to Ralph about that right after they won the state championship, you know, just kind of reminded him of it. And he kind of laughed and he said, yeah, you know, I didn't really know we were going to, you know, that's not the reason that I did it, thinking that we were going to be this good. I just wanted the kids to have the experience of it. And he said, but now, you know, kind of laughing. He said, now, obviously with us winning the state, you know, that's just another benefit to making sure that we got to play the season because, you know, the kids would have missed that on this opportunity too.
You're right. I mean, he had a huge year when you think about a state championship and the passionate letter that he wrote, because you're right, that thing had incredible staying power in the weeks that followed. Steven, I know there's just no way to sugarcoat it. This was a difficult year on the high school front all the way around. And really, I saved this one for last because, I mean, when you're talking about Catherine Neely, Clifford Kirk, and Tom Weathers, just some incredible area legends that were lost in 2020.
Yeah, and those are folks that can't be, you know, really their impact. It's irreplaceable. And you look, too, even before COVID hit, David, remember, we lost Bill Cherry. the longtime McCauley athletic director back in February.
Yep.
I mean, he was a guy who was so influential in the original public-private split and trying to, you know, get things, you know, some positive things going for the D2 folks and headed in the right direction. Was just really influential in a lot of things. So you lose, you know, those four, and then you put on top of that, you know, a young person like just before COVID hit as well, Vellante Bell, who was so influential in the local high school scene. You know, Von Bell's brother had been an assistant coach at Chattanooga State, had worked with a lot of high school kids and died in a car wreck. I mean, there's no, like you said, there's no sugarcoating. It was just a horrible year in terms of the influential people on high school athletics in our area that we lost. I mean, you know, a Tom Weathers. I mean, these were all people that the former Cable Display director, Ronnie Carter, he and I talked about, you know, just how hard hit we had been in losing Catherine Neely and Bill Cherry and Tom Weathers and Clifford Kirk. You know, he said there are certain areas in the state who will never have four influential people like that in the lifetime, you know, much less all at the same time. He said, you know, those are people, when you think about Catherine Neely, you think about East Ridge High School, the first person you think of is Catherine. Same way with Red Bank as Tom Weathers. I mean, they were just so influential around the state that those people had such a presence that for folks who've been around the state for a long time, that's those names and those faces are the first person you think of, first images you think of for those entire high schools and those communities. So for us to lose four like that in the span of a year, especially the three all within about a month of each other, you know, that's just kind of a real gut shot to the whole area. You know, they were people that still to this day, you know, a lot of coaches would still, when they saw Catherine Neely out or spoke to her, you know, would still kind of get advice and things like that from her. And of course, Clifford was still looking forward to coaching another season coming up. So, you know, just a real loss for our area.
You mentioned Bill Cherry. When I would see him at Lookouts games, when he would volunteer as an usher, and he was wearing that red of the Lookouts after all those years of wearing blue. I mean, that used to be so much fun. No, Bill Cherry, an absolute legend with the others. Stephen, before we let you go, what do you think things look like in the weeks ahead? We know that when this calendar year ended, Hamilton County was, you know, doing the all virtual thing. What do you know? Because I know these numbers aren't great right now. What could these first few weeks of January look like?
You know, we're still under Hamilton County schools and several, you know, Ray County, Mexican, and some of the outlying schools, too, are all under, they've kind of paused the winter sports season, basketball and wrestling, until around January the 4th. They're supposed to come back and reevaluate things, you know, the numbers, and see if it's safe to let them start back to practice. They'll have to practice for a week before they're then allowed to play games. You know, supposedly right now, January the 11th is the target date, but you know, depending on where these numbers are, by the time we get to January the 4th, it could get pushed back, you know, again, another week or 2 weeks or whatever they feel is necessary to be safe. I think, you know, not to be a Debbie Downer, I think it's going to be a real, real challenge to get the winter sports, particularly wrestling, to get their seasons in. I mean, I could see us pushing this back, you know, another couple of weeks into late January or February, maybe even just having some sort you know, like for wrestling, they may do some type of region format to try to get some state qualifiers at best. Basketball, similarly, they may just somehow seed them, whether it be flipping a coin or whatever, but seed teams in a district tournament and just have the postseason, because the numbers right now just don't support. You know, if you're going to pause it and wait and see where the numbers are, and the numbers haven't improved that much, I can definitely see them pausing this thing for another couple of weeks. And I hope that's not the case. I hope we're able to kind of move forward with it, because I think we're all wanting the kids to have a season and then to get to play games again. But, you know, right now it's just kind of still where we were a few weeks ago when they pushed the pause button.
Ooh. Well, we are all rooting for the same thing, and that's for things to improve. And, of course, Stephen, I know this has been the most difficult year as far as covering high school sports, but you've done an awesome, awesome job for the Times Free Press, which we greatly appreciate. We always appreciate you dropping in on Press Row. Stephen, thank you so much.
Thanks, David. Happy New Year to everybody.
All righty. Stephen Hargis joining us. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.